And as companies evolve in the way they protect consumers or try to protect consumers, hackers continue to evolve their attacks in response. In this week's Tech Watch, WDL's DJ McEnany tells us about the increasing concern over what is called synthetic identity fraud.
Hackers are looking to make off with your personal data whenever they can get it. But these days, they're not even necessarily looking for all of it. Stephen Hajduchek, CEO of Aver, a company that fancies themselves
the bouncers at the door for a lot of digital platforms, cryptocurrency, online gaming, hotels. We're the people who check that John Smith is John Smith. We use facial recognition and document matching and all this really cool tech to make that better and cheaper and safer for everybody.
Said synthetic identity fraud is becoming an ever-increasing issue when dealing with financial crimes. This week in TechWatch, Hajduchek walks us through the process that accounts for what Equifax says makes up 80% of their current credit card fraud losses and about a fifth of their credit card charge-offs.
Synthetic identity fraud is similar to what we all know today is what we see on TV, the LifeLock ads, protect your identity, monitor that. The regular identity fraud, as we know, is they take your information and they go to work. They open new accounts, they take out things in your name with your social, and it's a nightmare. So the synthetic identity fraud is a little more creative, similar process, but they'll take a name from John Smith, the address from Joe Smith, and they'll take a very young person, an adolescent, even a toddler, their social security number, because it hasn't been registered with any of their credit bureaus yet, and make that into this synthetic identity. And that allows them to build this credit file, this credit report, and it's a little bit of a longer play, but it's definitely more profitable for them. They get away a lot longer before they get known.
They do this because you can't track someone who isn't on the grid yet. There's often no one watching the identity of a baby to know it's been compromised, and that makes it harder for financial institutions to protect against.
They like to do that just because it's a new identity in these systems. So when this young person that, let's say your 8-year-old daughter, she's never registered with TransUnion or Equifax or any of those. To those bureaus, she doesn't even exist. So when they take that real social security number, which would return a yes or no from the systems that check it, they can basically say that belongs to anybody. So that's why they like taking it really young, starting really young with those socials to create these new synthetic identities. And it's a problem because the bigger the banks are, it seems to get a little dumber, but it's definitely something that we're all trying to work on.
He said this evolution of fraud isn't just an old dog learning new tricks, but it's costing both the banks and its end users money.
The systems today are getting really good just because I think, you know, shows like yours, we're really trying to educate people. And before your parents or your grandparents got involved with a scam, someone called them and said they had a $5 million in Nigeria on PayPal for them. And it tricked people. They got their information. They were embarrassed. And today we're generally hyper aware of this now. So I think it's getting better, but we don't even know synthetic identity fraud is going on. It's something that the banks deal with, and then they have to absorb those costs, and then they pass that on to us, which stinks, of course. So that's more ATM fees, higher checking account fees, minimums, all that stuff. So definitely a problem. And I think last year it was about $4.2 billion reported by Equifax that this cost them alone.
As the trend grows, Hajduchek said banks are increasing their initiatives to prevent this type of fraud, also costly to those employing the services of the financial institution.
They're starting to combat it with better systems and software. And the banks absorb those costs because, A, they have to pay for this new software now to try to combat this, which they pass on to their customers. And then when the fraudster, the bad guy or gal, opens up these multiple accounts, whether that's credit cards, a car loan, that car had to be paid for. That money was already sent. So the bank then has to absorb this in their book somehow, and that's how they make it up. And whether that's reducing interest rates or, like I mentioned, new account openings, ATM fees, and unfortunately, they'll never bear the brunt of it like we do.
Thanks to technological advancements, not all hope is lost. Hajduchek said companies are constantly improving the ways they combat this kind of fraud now that the process is a known commodity.
It's really cool the way things are done today. I'm part of the millennial group. The thing with the millennials and myself, we don't do anything in person anymore, whether it's banking, whether that's purchasing a car. I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina. They have this thing called Carvana where you can literally order your car and pick it up at a pod. So these businesses want technology to verify that without having a representative come there. That's kind of what we do. We match 30 points, what's called the T-zone in the human face. It's almost identical, really, and better in a lot of studies than a fingerprint. So we can literally match somebody from whether it was in an image, you know, 40 years ago or 50 years ago, that T-zone generally doesn't change. So that's how we match people through facial detection, voice analysis, all these really cool things. You put those pieces together with the documents they're submitting, with their computer's location, and then you can kind of build this verification of saying, you know, this is John Smith. We believe to a high certainty that, you know, they couldn't dupe these systems. And we're seeing when these fraudsters see us at the door, they generally want to go to a platform that doesn't have that level of check, because it becomes a little harder for them.
There are also things, he said, individuals can do to better protect themselves on their own terms.
We kind of run in the background. You'll probably have used our stuff and didn't even know it, which is the way we like it. We want to make it better. But for the consumer, something that we like to tell people, it's free. It literally takes 5 minutes with basic computer knowledge. You can go on and do what's called a credit freeze. So for me, I'm in North Carolina, so you could just literally Google credit freeze North Carolina. That would take you most likely to your state attorney general office's website. And then you're just linked to Equifax, TransUnion, Experian. And that just allows you to create a PIN and a password for your credit file for your social security number. So unless someone has that PIN or that password, they can't even begin the process to open a line of credit or bank loan or whatever. And then it's super easy to what they call thaw. So in like 2 minutes, you can thaw it for a day, for a month, for, you know, a week. And that's when you want to take out a new car loan or when you're house shopping and life changes. But that's something really cool. We like to tell people it's free now in all 50 states. And then there's other really good services out there. There's one called Credit Sesame, Credit Karma, and those are apps on your phone, Android, iOS. They've done a really good job, those guys. And that allows you to basically check your accounts, your credit score, payment history every single day for free. So if you really wanted to get into the nitty gritty of it, you could take an offensive approach and check that out every day with your credit frozen. It's near impossible to do anything without that PIN or password that you created. And that's kind of how we can take some power back as the consumers.
With TechWatch, I'm DJ McEnany for WDEL, Delaware's News Radio.
All right, thanks, DJ.